I'm going to read John 18, and not the whole chapter. We're going to pick up in verse 28. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. So if you don't mind standing again, I know you just sat down, but I'll let you sit for about a minute or two, get you back up again. You have blood flowing. You know, when you stand, you burn off more calories. Do you know that? Right? Yes. John 18, plus we're just doing it in honor of the Word of God. Verse 28, I'll read, you follow along, and I'll do the reading, you just do the listening. How's that? Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. In other words, if he wasn't a criminal worthy of death, we wouldn't have brought him to you. But since he is a criminal, that's what a malefactor was in the Bible. Since he's a criminal in this particular situation, he's worthy of dying, of execution. That's why we brought him. Remember, this is Jesus they're talking about. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? That thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Then I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault. I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together this morning. What a blessing to be in church. What a blessing to have everyone here today. We thank you, Lord, for those that you brought to the house of God. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts and souls. We pray, Lord, for this message, that you would use it again for your honor and for your glory. Now, Lord, we thank you and praise you again for your death on the cross, your burial, your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your second coming. Lord, we just, as we look again today as to what you went through as you approached the cross, Lord, you did it for us. You did it for our sins. You did it as our replacement. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 40, the Bible says, and they cried, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas was a robber. I want to preach today a message entitled Barabbas or Jesus. Which is it? Barabbas or Jesus? Which is it? Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 12, the last verse of Isaiah 53 says this. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Not only did he make intercession for the transgressors, he was numbered with them. Remember on that particular day when Jesus died on the cross, there were three crosses there. On all three crosses, it was intended that three criminals worthy of execution were to be executed that day. Two malefactors or criminals on both sides of Jesus, and Barabbas was supposed to be in the middle cross. Jesus took Barabbas's place. And Jesus was nailed to that center cross that day. The innocent dying for the guilty. Barabbas is mentioned in each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't know a lot about this individual, but his name refers to, it's Barabbas. Bar means son of. Abba or Abbas means father. So Barabbas was the son of a father. You say, well, that's a no-brainer. Well, but the father of Barabbas possibly could have been a learner of the Jews. He could have been a ruler of some sort of the Jews. He could have been a teacher of the law. He could have been a rabbi. We're not sure, but that's very possible based upon the definition of the name Barabbas. Abba meaning a very endearing term. And remember, people would name their children based upon a reason. And that name Barabbas really means something. And so his father could have been somebody that was very high up in the religious, the Jewish religion. He could have been somebody that taught the Old Testament. Barabbas could have grown up in a household where he heard the Old Testament being taught. But obviously he made a choice to go in a different direction. What a contrast between Barabbas and Jesus. Barabbas had a father that was possibly somebody that was a teacher of the law. Somebody that may have lived the Old Testament. Jesus, on the other hand, his father was Father God. Quite a difference between the two, but nonetheless, there was a contrast between the two. Matthew refers to Barabbas as a notable prisoner, a notable individual. That word means notorious, and it means well known for something undesirable and bad. So Barabbas was labeled as a notorious individual, somebody that was well known for something that he did. Everybody around knew Barabbas and knew what he did and knew his crime. Luke 23 says that Barabbas was a man of sedition, which simply means he went against civil authority. Barabbas rose up against the Roman government. Barabbas was a Jew. He was a Jewish man. And he rose up against the Roman government, and he caused this insurrection or this sedition by opposing that. He was very popular. He was able to gather a crowd without any problem. And he possibly, the Bible also calls him a murderer. Well, where do you think he murdered? Probably in the insurrection. He probably killed a government representative, a government officer of some sort. And so that's why he was going to be executed on that center cross that day, is because he was a murderer. He was notable. He was also, John calls him, a robber. He was quite a criminal. A notable murderer that went against the government and was a robber. That was Barnabas's resume. Not a very good resume. Jesus actually, when you read the Gospels and you study this out a little bit, you realize that Jesus was accused of what Barabbas did. Jesus was accused of going against the Roman government. He was accused of going against the Jewish religion. He was accused of going against everybody. He was literally being accused of what Barabbas did. Barabbas represents sin, no doubt. The Jews chose Barabbas over Jesus. Please understand, this is not a contest. Some people have looked at this as Barabbas versus Jesus. It was not that at all. It was not a contest. It wasn't, let's put these two guys in a ring and let's see who comes out winning. Because by looking at it that way, it looks like Barabbas won and Jesus lost. Right? Be honest. That's what it looks like. Who got set free? Barabbas. Who got crucified? Jesus. It looks like, from a human perspective, from a worldly aspect, it looks like Barabbas came out the winner that day. And really, he did. He came out the winner that day. He wasn't executed. Somebody took his place. He came out a winner. But you could never say that Jesus was a loser. Amen. Jesus never lost at anything. Amen. So this is not something that's Barabbas versus Jesus. That's not what this is all about. This message today is dealing with choices. There was a choice between Barabbas and Jesus. A choice. That's what it was. The release of Barabbas pictures how Jesus died in the place of sinners. The whole thrust of Jesus coming to this earth was for the very purpose of dying for sinners, which we're all, that's what we all are, sinners. Now, many of us are sinners saved by grace, but before we were saved, we were sinners. We were destined to hell. We were destined to pay for our own sins throughout all eternity in a place called hell. Jesus took our place as he took Barabbas' place. I don't want to speculate too much. I don't want to, read between the lines. We don't ever want to do that. But I often wondered this, just asked the question. I wonder how Barabbas felt that day when he was released and freed and Jesus took his place on the cross. I wonder where Barabbas was when Jesus was being nailed to the cross. I wonder if Barabbas was still there in the presence of everybody and watching that whole procedure take place. I wonder if Barabbas, we don't know, we won't know till we get to heaven, but hey, you don't know. I wonder if maybe Barabbas even looked at that whole thing and realized what he had done was wrong, that he was a sinner. One thief on one side of Jesus got saved. There's nothing saying that Barabbas didn't get saved that day. Did Jesus take his place? Yeah. Did Jesus take your place? Yeah. No matter what you've done in your life, any human being is entitled to be saved. Based upon what Jesus did on the cross, right? You take the worst sinner in the world, and Jesus died for that worst sinner. Our friend John there works with in a prison. How many are in there?
1,200.
John jokingly says, well, I'm going to go and meet with my closest friends today. But he's a prison guard or a corrections officer. I don't know if he's a corrections officer. He's a prison guard. Right. But he guards those 1,250 or so men. And I'm sure that, and we don't need to know, but I'm sure that John knows many of those men that some of the things maybe that they've done. And yet Jesus died for every one of those. He died for every one of them. He died for Barabbas, notorious murderer, robber, instigator of trouble within the government. He died. Jesus died for Barabbas. He took his place. Barabbas went free that day. Jesus died in his place. The two, Barabbas and Jesus, represent two different kingdoms of two different rules that are opposed to each other. I mean, you can't even blend them together at all. Barabbas represents the present evil world that we live in. Barabbas represents the kingdom of darkness, governed by the prince of darkness. Their business is to rob men of their time, their joy, and of their soul. Jesus represents the kingdom of God. He stands for the sacrifice for sin. He stands for eternal life, which is a gift of God. It's a gift. Eternal life is a gift. It's nothing that we have to do anything for or buy or any of that. We don't have to do anything to get saved. We just have to believe. Amen. With our hearts, with our minds as we think about Jesus Christ and open up our hearts to receive the truth. Christ represents the life in the light of men. Jesus Christ represents the substitute redeemer for us. He not only took Barabbas' place, he took my place. Amen. I should have been nailed to the cross.
We all should have been nailed to the cross. We should pay for our sins. We should. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve forgiveness. We should pay for our sins. What we really deserve is payment for our own sins. That's what we really deserve. But Jesus took the penalty. It's like the two men, they put him in the ring, and this is a poor analogy, but it's like they put these two men in the ring, Barabbas and Jesus, and they both got their boxing gloves on and they're ready to go at it. And the bell rings, ding, and Barabbas comes out fighting, and what Jesus does is he takes off his boxing gloves, tosses them out of the ring. He walks over to Barabbas and he lifts his hand up and says, "You won. You won." It came down to one or the other, Barabbas or Jesus, that day, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. It came down to a choice that was to be made that day. I really personally believe that Pilate thought he had an out. There was this thing that they did back in those days during that time where every year at Passover they would pardon one prisoner. And that prisoner would be pardoned and they would go free, just like our presidents and governors do the same thing. They pardon individuals and they're completely exonerated and they go free. Right? Well, Pilate, when he was examining Jesus and he kept going out to the crowd, I really believe that he thought he had an out. I really believe that he thought they were going to choose Jesus over the murderer, over the insurrectionist, over the robber, over the bad guy. And Pilate kept going out and saying, "I find no fault in this man. He's done nothing wrong." And yet, when he went out to try to release Jesus, in verse 39 of our text, "But ye have chosen that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Pilate was hoping they'd say, "Yes, release to us the King of the Jews. Give us Jesus." But what did they do? They cried, then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, not Jesus. We want Barabbas. Give us the murderer. Give us the robber. Give us the bad guy over the good guy." You know what came down to that day? It came down to a choice. Came down to a choice between sin or not sin. It came down to a choice between heaven or hell. Yeah. Amen. Right? It came down to a choice whether you're saved or you're lost. It came down to a choice between Jesus Christ and Satan. It came down to a choice between right or wrong. It came down to a choice between good or bad. And what did they choose? They chose hell. They chose being lost. They chose Satan. They chose wrong. They chose bad. And the list just goes on. That's what the Jewish nation of Israel chose that day. They chose Barabbas. And they told Pilate to crucify Jesus. Barabbas was there. Jesus was there. The crowd was there. And they had a choice to make. And they made the choice. They made the choice. I really believe that the choice is placed in front of every crowd of sinners today. 2,000 years later. Jesus Christ or not. Salvation or lost. Heaven or hell. Good or bad. Right or wrong. It comes down to a choice. Comes down to a choice to every single human being that has ever been born. Comes down to a choice to every single one of us in this room and those that are listening online. Comes down to a choice. Choice. What was Barabbas' character like again? Did he have an outstanding good character? No, his resume was he was a murderer, a robber, an insurrectionist. That was his character. His character was the character of a sinner. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, what was his character like? Completely the opposite. I mean, the character of Christ, he's the sinless Son of God. He's part of the Godhead. He's the creator of the universe. I've read a lot in the Bible about the character of Christ, and I've never found where he is a murderer, a robber, or an insurrectionist. He's called the altogether lovely one. He's the holy one. He's the righteous one. He's the good one. He's the faithful one. He's the true. He's the just. He's the sinless. He's the spotless. He's the innocent. He's the harmless one. He's obedient to God, his Father. He's meek. He's merciful. He's patient. He's compassionate. He's humble. And he's forgiving. Compare the two resumes and what do you have? A real contrast between the two. Matthew 27:4. Matthew 27:4. I'm going to turn to it and read for the sake of time. Matthew 27:4 says, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Judas is saying he realized he betrayed the innocent blood. It's interesting. He didn't say, I betrayed the innocent person. I betrayed the innocent human. He said, I betrayed innocent blood. I think Judas was saying, you know what? I just realized what I did. I betrayed God. I betrayed God. 27:19, same chapter. And when he was set down on a judgment seat, his wife, this is the wife of Pilate, this is Mrs. Pilate, said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. I've often wondered, was God in that dream trying to warn Pilate? I don't know. Possible. Look at verse 23. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Pilate's just simply saying, tell me what he has done wrong. What did this man do to cause him to be put to death? Mark 14. Mark 14 and verse 56. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. They couldn't even get people to agree on what Jesus supposedly did wrong. You know why? Because he didn't do anything wrong. You realize when you lie, you usually have to tell another lie to cover up the first lie. And then you find yourself, it's a snowball effect. You end up lying about the lie you just told, and then you lie again. It's just a never-ending thing. We see that sometimes. Maybe it's happened to you. We see it sometimes in our school kids here. Right? Yeah. It's probably happened to you. Probably happened to me. No, not probably. It has. Look at Luke 23. Luke 23. I'm just trying to, you know what I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to show you there was nothing wrong with Jesus at all. He didn't do anything worthy of death. He didn't do anything worthy of being scourged, beaten. Luke 23 and verse 4. And said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. Could they say that about you? No, probably not. But Pilate said, I can't find anything wrong with him at all. Look at verse 14. Said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I haven't examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. You've made your accusations. I've examined him and I can't find where he has done anything that you said he's done. Verse 15. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Nothing. 22. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. Well, he thought he had it made. He thought maybe he could just do that and, you know, chastise him, whip him, hurt him somehow, and just let him go. No, that's not what they wanted. They wanted Jesus dead. They wanted Jesus crucified. They wanted Jesus executed. That's exactly what they wanted. Back to our text in John 18, verse 38. Again, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. He saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Has anybody ever been able to come up with one thing that Jesus did wrong to allow him to even be accused of anything? Not one thing. Not one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, I'll read it. You write it down, look it up later if you'd like. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In him. Christ never knew what sin. He never knew sin at all. You can't say that about me or you. We all know what sin is because we are sinners that still sin at times. Amen. Hebrews 7:26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's Jesus Christ. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, and he's separate from sinners. And yet he died for sinners. He died for Barabbas. He died for Terry Fenton. And he died for us all. 1 Peter, go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, look at verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Do you know that Jesus never committed any sin or did anything wrong? Never told a lie, never just even thought anything sinful or said anything sinful. There was no guile ever in his mouth. You can't say that about most of us adults in this room. There's been some guile, I'm sure, in our mouth. I'm sure there's been some things that you have said that you wish you could go back and have them erased, or just go back and let's do this again. Can't do that. Things that come out of your mouth, stay out of your mouth. Look at chapter 3, 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The just for the unjust. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John 3, 5. Again, Barabbas, his resume is the resume of a murderer. He had a rap sheet. That's what they call that stuff, right? A rap sheet. And his rap sheet was not small. He had been convicted of all of these crimes. Each of these crimes, they proved what he had done, I'm sure. That's why he was sentenced to die on that cross that day. And yet with Christ, Christ never had a rap sheet. But you know what he did? He took Barabbas' rap sheet and wrote across Barabbas' rap sheet his own name. Then he took my rap sheet. I don't have a rap sheet, okay? I got a speeding ticket once, maybe twice. No more than maybe two times, but this we're going way, way, way back. When I was a teenager, I got a seatbelt ticket one time. I got a muffler ticket one time. Back in the days when we used to, my teenage years, I'll put this on hold just for a second, but I couldn't afford that fancy muffler, so I'd get underneath my car with a hammer and a nail, and I would poke holes in my muffler, and I would make those holes a little bit bigger. So when I went down the road, and I had a Hurst three-speed on the floor of my 1964 Ford 500 Custom. What did I have in it? What's the Ford? 289? 289. I took that to Estes Speedway one time. I was going to drag race. I got there and I chickened out. I just sat and watched the races. But I was going to race that. I was going to race that car. It's a fast car. Well, I was driving through Baldwinsville one day, and a police officer pulled me over. And I says, "What did I do wrong, officer?" He said, "Your muffler's way too loud." He pulled me underneath an underpass and made me step on it. And it made a lot of noise under the underpass. Well, duh. I mean, any vehicle's going to make. And so he wrote me a ticket for having a loud muffler. So I had to go put a quiet muffler on the car. It was a sad time in my life. Now, the quieter, the better, right? We get old, we want them quiet, silent. We don't want to hear anything outside. We just want that nice, quiet time. I don't know why I brought that up. Where was I? 1 John 3:5. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. See, that's my rap sheet. I've gotten tickets and done some things wrong down through the years, right? Haven't we all? Come on. Maybe you've never had a ticket in your life. But I can guarantee you've probably gone over the speed limit 1 or 2 miles per hour. Huh? You ever get on the thruway and set that cruise 5 miles an hour over? I'm safe, right? Well, maybe. But just keep pushing your luck. Someday you won't be. Or you drive through town a little too fast. Roll through the stop sign. The stop sign says to stop. I was always instructed when I was getting my bus license, when it says stop, you come up and you stop the vehicle. You don't roll through the stop sign, right? Kathy got a ticket one time for rolling through a stop sign, didn't you, dear? Yes. See, she's no angel either. She's had a few tickets in her life. Speeding. She got pulled over one time for going too slow. I'm serious. She got pulled over for going too slow one time. I don't know if they thought that she was like, but they pulled her over. She didn't get a ticket, but they wanted to know why she was going slow. She was trying to find, she was picking up somebody for church, and she was trying to find the place. And so she was just moving like, looking like a sloth. So we all have a little rap sheet, I guess, somewhere. But our sin rap sheet outdoes them all. You have a sin rap sheet. Yeah, you've had some thoughts that you shouldn't have thought. You've said some words that you probably shouldn't have said. You've done some things that you probably shouldn't have done. Not probably. You've done some things you shouldn't have done. And you know what? You didn't get a ticket for it. You didn't have to go to court for it. But God's keeping track. He knows our rap sheet. But the blessing is Jesus took my rap sheet, died on the cross. You know what he did with my rap sheet? And then he threw it into a fire, and nobody knows anything about my rap sheet. Isn't that a blessing? I might know about my rap sheet, but God no longer knows my rap sheet. It was wiped clean when Jesus died on the cross. And so was yours. All your sins were removed. Completely washed away. John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's who Jesus is. John 1:29 and 36. Jesus Christ died in our place. The sinless one for the sinner. The merciful one for the murderer. The true one for the tyrant. The faithful one for the failure. The righteous for the robber. The word of God for the wicked. The innocent for the guilty. The giver of life for the taker of life. And you know what? The choice is yours. Barabbas or Jesus? They both were there, and the people made a choice that day. They chose Barabbas over Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. And they got what they wanted. The Jews got exactly what they wanted. Barabbas was let go free. Jesus was crucified. But the choice today is yours also. It comes down to a choice. You have to choose. When you say no to God and you say no to the Holy Spirit and you say no to salvation, you're choosing like you're choosing Barabbas. You're just like those Jews 2,000 years ago, choosing Barabbas, a sinner, a murderer, a robber, over the sinless Son of God. When the choice is there for you to make, you need to make the right choice. The right choice is Jesus Christ, salvation, heaven, eternal life. That's the choice that every human being faces in their life. You've all been given a choice. Many of you have made that choice already. Praise God for that. You've made the choice, right? You've chosen Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Some of you may have not made that choice yet. And maybe you need to make that choice today. Amen. Remember, Jesus was standing there in front of all, along with Barabbas, when they chose Barabbas. I think Barabbas was thankful that day. He was thankful for two reasons, probably. Number one, he was thankful he didn't have to be nailed to the cross as he watched what was going on around him. Possibly he was thankful that Jesus took his sins on that cross. The choice is yours. Jesus or Barabbas. This is not a contest. It's a choice. It's a choice. You make it. You make it right now. We're going to have an invitation, and you make the choice. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. And you can. We give an invitation. Simply means that we play some music. We bow our heads. And if you'd like to get saved, you come forward and get my attention here and say, "Pastor, I want to be saved." If you're at home or somewhere and listening to this and you're not saved, you need to make that choice also. No matter where you are, if you're driving a car, don't bow your head and close your eyes. But no matter where you are, you can ask Jesus to come into your heart. You can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's repenting of your sins and believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And asking him to save you. That's calling upon Jesus Christ. Asking him to save you. Salvation is not a complicated thing. God made it so easy. He made it so available. Everybody can be saved. "I've sinned too much, preacher. You don't know what I've done in my life." Doesn't matter. Barabbas was replaced that day on the cross by the one that could save him. And Jesus can save anybody. Anybody. If he can save me, he can save you. Father, bless this time right now. You know who needs to be saved. Lord, I don't.